Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. All people in God's creation are equal in His eyes. For example, both the poor and the oppressor receive their sight from the Lord. This is the basis of fair judgment, and there are consequences for neglecting justice, especially when the rich and powerful abuse or neglect the poor. Those that humbly fear God will receive rewards, but the proud and the wicked will eventually face a downfall. Please open your Bible to Proverbs 29, verse 13, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of this chapter.
Verse 13, the poor and the deceitful man meet together. They live side by side. The Lord lightens both their eyes. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 2, we learn how the poor man is contrasted with the rich man. Here, the poor man is contrasted with the deceitful man. All too often, deceitfulness and riches go hand in hand. How many people are deceived by riches? In fact, one of the things that chokes growth in grace and bearing fruit in the parable of the sower is what? The deceitfulness of riches. Riches aren't evil. They're not evil in and of themselves. It's the love of the riches. The love of money is what? Called the root of all evil. The root of all evil. The deceitfulness of riches. Promises all kinds of things. If I only had a little bit more money, how much more? How much more? Tell me. That's like a black hole. We don't need more riches. What we need to do, and I'm speaking to myself here, what we need to do is learn to value what God has given to us, appreciate it, and steward it well. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We are extremely wealthy in Jesus Christ. The poor and the deceitful man meet together. The Lord lightens both their eyes. But all too often, deceitfulness and riches go hand in hand. How many people are bought for a little bit of money? Right? Hey, don't say anything. Here's some money. It happens all the time. All the time. The king, verse 14, that faithfully judges the poor, his throne shall be established forever. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself or getting their own way brings his mother to shame. No child becomes wise and virtuous by pursuing their own inclinations. They all need instruction. They all need discipline. The Bible talks about discipline. He that spares his rod hates his son, but he that loves him chastens him betimes. Withhold not correction from the child, for if you beat him with the rod, he shall not die. And, you know, we're seeing in society, in our society, it's really going downhill quick because there are so many fatherless homes. And the society that does not practice the discipline of children is destined to be overrun by evil and anarchy. We're seeing it happen. Who would have ever thought that there would be a time when you could go into a jewelry store, get a mob of people, and just smash the glass and take gold and silver and all? Who would have thought that? It's a disregard of applying God's word. And there's always consequences when you fail to apply God's word. Now, that doesn't mean that if you discipline your son or daughter, that they're always going to listen. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, and I don't want to hit a nerve here. But God himself has a few disobedient children. Let me put it there that way. But there is something to be said about the rod and reproof. Correction is important with godly wisdom. Verse 16, when the wicked are multiplied, transgression increases, but the righteous shall see their fall. Just read of the judgments in the book of Revelation. that while Babylon is being judged, the righteous in heaven are declaring, just and true are you, Almighty God. You're just and true in all your ways. When the wicked are multiplied, sin increases. And we see that again, over and over. But the righteous shall see their fall. Correct thy son, and he will give you rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto your soul. In other words, you can expect resistance, but you have to be persistent. Verse 18, where there is no vision or revelation of divine truth, the people perish. But he that keeps the law, happy is he. So here's the word happy again. Happy. It's a biblical word. Vision, without divine revelation, man has no hope. And God's given us the Logos, right here. The Logos. The written word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Psalm 28, verse 1 tells us that when God is silent to us, we become like those who go down into the pit. How many of you have ever experienced that in your own life? Maybe you're not spending, I don't want to get into something that sounds like moralism or legalism. Let's just say you're not diligent, you're not consistent in reading the word of God. It's hit and miss. And you know what? When you do that, there's a void. There's an absence of a Godward way of looking and seeing things. And you become like those that go down to the pit. You begin to say, well, maybe things aren't that bad around here. Maybe it's just those extremists that are just stirring up panic. But how many of you know that when you're not in the Word, regularly, devotionally, something inside of you is lacking? God gave to the Israelites manna every day. And the word manna, you guys know, means what is it? And after a while, the Israelites, ladies, the menu for the family, manna bread, manna cotti, everything, you know? Everything was manna. You had a manna cookbook. And it got to the point, go, what is it? And you know, it's sad. It's sad. It's tragic. When the people of God, I believe that when we are growing in the Lord, the word of God becomes more precious, more wonderful, more thrilling than ever. It doesn't decrease in value. In fact, the more you read, the hungrier you get. And just not just for head knowledge, that puffeth up. That's not the purpose of it. But reading the Word, reading the Word of God, and that's why it's so important, beloved, for every one of us to have an intimate time with the Lord every day. I'm not going to tell you it has to be at a certain time of day. I have pastor friends, they are night owls. And they believe the Genesis record, that the evening and the morning was the first day. So they have their quiet time after midnight. That's how they start the day. Isn't it interesting? And so there's your time might not be midnight or after midnight. You might be in the third heavens sleeping at that time. Whatever. It really doesn't matter. The important thing is that every day, give us this day our daily bread. We need that daily bread. And how important it is for you and I, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, that we are intentional about coming together, whether it's a growth group or a small group. But to see so many of you here on a Wednesday night is so encouraging, how we need to be sitting and hearing the Word of God. This is so important in our growth. When people reject the revealed word of God, they're open to humanistic ideas, godless doctrines of men and devils alike. What happens when society rejects God's revelation? You know what they do? They begin making up their own rules, like in the book of Judges, chapter 17, verse 6, chapter 21, verse 25. In those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which is right in his own eyes. See, we don't get to make up the rules. And I don't want to make Christianity a matter of rules, but we don't get to set the standards. God sets the standards. You don't make up your own rules. But when you're out of the word of God, then you make up your own rules. He that keeps the law, happy is he. This is the last of six references to the word happy in the Proverbs. Let me sum them up for you. A happy life is one that finds God's wisdom and understanding. A happy life is a person who has mercy on the poor. A happy life is a person who trusts in the Lord. A happy life is one who fears God. And here, a happy life is a person who is governed by the Word of God. And how many know that when you are governed by the Word of God, that will develop intimacy with the Lord? And Jacob, remember when Jacob had that encounter with the Lord and he began to, like, limp? I heard a seasoned pastor say that one way you can tell an individual who is walking with the Lord and is close to him, they walk with a limp. Because he'll wrestle you. And the beautiful thing about when you wrestle with God, whenever he pins you, you win. Verse 19, a servant will not be corrected by words, for though he understand, he will not answer. You see, a man that is hasty in his words, or one who speaks before he thinks. Yeah, I've been guilty of that. I don't know about you. There's more hope of a fool than of him. That's interesting. A fool is a person who says that there is no God. The person who is hasty in their speech has less hope than the fool. And again, words. Words. We all talk. We all do. We've been given this gift by the Lord. James 3:2 tells us that managing our words is a way that we can control our whole body. James 3:2 says, if a man offend not in word, the same as a perfect or a mature man, able also to bridle his whole body. Now, unfortunately, there is a doctrine of positive confession that has abused a biblical principle. But there's a lot to be said for being mature, controlling your whole body, directing your whole body like the rudder does a ship by what comes out of your mouth. And sometimes we need to talk to ourselves. How many of you have read Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones' book on spiritual depression from Psalm 42? Powerful book. You know what he said? And it was right on. And he was a medical doctor. He says, many Christians struggle with depression because they listen to themselves instead of talking to themselves. We need to talk to ourselves in a good way. You and I need to talk to ourselves, reminding ourselves, who are you? You are whoever the Bible declares you to be, right? Remember the old hippie movement? Everybody was looking for themselves. That was a brilliant idea. So then we took acid and went on trips to find ourselves. And we just became more spaced out than ever before. And then, praise God, what happened was that we met Jesus. And then we found ourselves and we said, oh, I don't like it. And then we came to know him. And he came in and changed us, you and me. There is power in God's word. Remember that, beloved. We need to be aware of the great power that even our offhanded words have to either hurt or bless others. Verse 21, he that delicately brings up his servant from a child shall have him become his son at the length. Back in those days, obedient slaves often became heir of their masters instead of a son who walked in rebellion. Verse 22, an angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgression. The source of strife and dissension often stems from a proud and an angry heart. And the sad thing is that a proud and angry person delights in sowing discord and dissension. There are people that just love it. They just love sowing discord. God says he hates it. An angry man stirs up strife, and a furious or a hot-tempered man abounds in transgression. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Pride seals a man off from learning and is always a forerunner to destruction, especially spiritual pride. Remember the Pharisee and the publican in the temple? Was that Pharisee full of himself? I mean, he thought that he was really a spiritual heavyweight. He was a spiritual nothing. He had eye disease. All about him and despising others. Then there was the publican smiting his breast. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Proverbs 18:12 says, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. James 4:6, but he gives more grace. Wherefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud. Verse 25, the fear of man brings or proves to be a snare, but whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Saul said in 1 Samuel 15, verse 24, after God had taken the anointing from him and placed it upon David, Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people. He was swayed by the opinions of his fellow men rather than by God's word. It's been said, will be betrayed into innumerable sins and errors that will be a snare to their soul. What's the answer for the fear of man? It's trusting in the Lord. Trusting in the Lord. It is only by faith in God that you and I can overcome the fear of man. Jesus said in Matthew 10:28, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Many seek the ruler's favor, but every man's judgment cometh from the Lord. Every human being is going to have their day with the Lord. It's either going to be at the judgment seat of Christ as a believer, or the great white throne if you're a non-believer. Every one of us, we're going to stand before God one day. Earthly approval is worth little. We should always be seeking to please God. Verse 27, when I was in Peru last year, I got a text from one of the pastors. You know what the text was? He says to me, you are an abomination. I said, what? That's it. So I go downstairs to get some of that nice, loaded with caffeine, Peruvian coffee. And he reads me Proverbs 29:27, an unjust man is an abomination to the just, and he that is upright in the way is an abomination to the wicked. I go, oh, yes. I was thinking about doing a study on Sunday morning. You are an abomination. Imagine getting the announcements, the video announcements, you know, that Hannah does. Come to bring your friends and hear the study. You are an abomination. What? Has he lost his mind? I get that text and I'm thinking, what did I do? What did I say? I just got done teaching last night. What was it? I started to freak out. So I go downstairs. He got this big smile on his face. It's a Pastor A, Proverbs 29:27. I go, oh. But isn't that true? Look at it. Look at that proverb. An unjust man is an abomination to the just, and he that is upright in the way is an abomination to the wicked. In other words, the righteous detest the wicked, and the wicked detest the righteous. Proverbs 37:12. The wicked plots against the just and gnashes upon him with his teeth. Do you see that happening? You take a stand for righteousness. You take a biblical view on abortion or being pro-life, and boy, the wicked gnash upon you with their teeth. You know, the whole history of the world from the beginning is but a fulfillment of the original declaration in Eden, I will put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. The good hate the badness of the wicked, and the wicked hate the goodness of the good. That's just the way it is. It's like a law. It's like a law of gravity. It is there. 2 Corinthians 2, 14 and 15 says, now thanks be unto God. This is another one that I was thinking about for a title for a study. So one is, pray about this, you are an abomination. And another one, you stink. Well, let me read. There's good stink, or you smell. 2 Corinthians 2, 14, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. Have you ever walked in this building, the saints are gathering, and it's just like, oh, it smells so good in here. It smelled extra good Sunday with the pasta. Oh, it was like. So wherever you go, you bring a fragrance of life. And oddly enough, that's offensive to someone who is living in death. Let me read some closing words on the fate of the wicked. They call an unjust man as an abomination to the just, and he that is upright in ways an abomination to the wicked. Isaiah chapter 5, beginning in verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Hey, that sounds like cable news. That sounds like the New York Times. It sounds like the New York Post. That sounds like the Washington Post. This sounds like today's news. That put darkness for light and light for darkness. That put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward or for gain and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, listen to this, as the fire devoureth the stubble and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness and their blossoms shall go up as the dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Judgment is coming. And those who consider you to be an abomination, there is literally going to be hell to pay when the Lord comes. The Proverbs are just so, this is like practical Christianity. This is, you can read the Gospels, you can read the Epistles, and they all, there's one book, there's one theme, there's one way to walk uprightly. And tonight we have the privilege of gathering and hearing the word of God, and we get the privilege now of blessing his name in worship. Amen. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless his holy, his wonderful.
Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Kids from 4 to 10 years old are invited to a one-day VBS on Saturday, August 9th at Koinonia Fellowship in East Rochester. Gather up the kids in the neighborhood and join us as we learn about the gospel and have fun playing games, making crafts, and singing songs about the love of Jesus. This magnified one-day VBS is from 9 a.m. until 2:30 p.m. and includes a complete lunch. Saturday, August 9th at Koinonia Fellowship in East Rochester. Stick around after for more free food, a bounce house, and games next door at Edmund Lyon Park. Register today at koinoniafellowship.com. See you there.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.